Today our theme is victory and the victory that we have in Christ. If we're honest, we live in a world that's full of struggles, trials and battles. Are there ever times when it feels like your life is full of battles? Maybe physical, emotional or spiritual? Okay, it's just me then, that's fine. If we're honest, all of us face times of struggle. All of us face times of defeat. All of us have times when we despair. And I think the modern world despairs about things that aren't worthy of being despaired of. There are people who will panic because they cannot get the latest limited edition drink because the shop isn't stocking it. There are people who panic because the milkshake machine at McDonald's is not working again. There are people who panic because they have to go to work and they don't want to. We've all been there. Sometimes we struggle to get up in the morning, don't we? Yeah. I'll be honest, there are those times when I think, do I really have to get up and go to work? But then you will be sitting here staring at just a blank wall. So, yeah, I have to come to work, don't I? Now, some of you might be happy about that. Some of you might prefer to look at a blank wall than look at me. There are things that we despair of that are not worthy of despair. There are things that we worry about that aren't worthy of us worrying about them. And often I think if we actually trusted that God is who he says he is, we would worry a lot less. Because one of his promises is he cares for us. In every circumstance, in every situation, God is with us. And the glorious truth of the gospel is that in Christ we are already victorious. In Christ the battle has already been won. As followers of Jesus Christ, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Christ has already won the battle over sin. Through his death and his resurrection, he has already set us free. And the Apostle Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory is a dominant theme throughout the Bible. This month for online sermons on YouTube, I've been considering various types of victory that we have already in Christ. But the victory of Christ, the victory of God, is seen throughout the Bible. It is something that we could speak on for days, weeks, or even months. In the Bible, you see victory in the deliverance of Israel. You see victory in the miracles of Jesus. Most powerfully, you see the victory of Jesus in the empty tomb. Jesus Christ is our victorious King, and in him, we can walk in victory. Victory in Christ is not something that's temporary. It's not something that's uncertain. It is eternal. It's secured by Christ's finished work on the cross. The songs we've sung this morning and the songs that we will sing proclaim this truth. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Do we all know that to be true this morning? Or later we're going to sing, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honour, power and strength to the Lord. It's not something extra that we're trying to bestow upon him. He already has honour and power and strength. But we need to remind ourselves of who God is. We need to remind ourselves that he is the Almighty One, that he is the Omnipotent One, that he is the one that nothing can stand against. Today we're going to explore the victory we have in Christ through his grace, his presence, his power, and his eternal triumph. And my first point for you this morning is go and stand in the victory of grace. There are times when it feels like we're beaten down by the world. There are times when we're marginalized, times when we are ignored, times when we are told that we are wrong. How can you believe the Bible? Hasn't science disproved it? What, you believe that there's a creator and we're not just random acts of chance? The world dismisses our beliefs, because if they believed them themselves, then they would have to acknowledge that there is a God, and they would have to think about their position before God. And in many ways, it's easier for people to deny or choose to follow a lie than it is to believe the truth of his word. But as believers, we're told to go and stand in victory. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 reminds us, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. If we had to rely on our own strength to get into heaven, if we had to rely on our own goodness to get into heaven, heaven would be empty. It's only because of the righteousness of Christ, because of the goodness of God, that we can be forgiven and allowed entrance into heaven. The foundation of our victory is the grace of God. Grace is described as God's unmerited favour. Let me pick on my daughter for a moment. There is nothing worthy about you that means that you deserve salvation. Yet God gives it to you as a free gift. My wife, there's nothing worthy for you, but God gives you a free gift. And myself, I'm not worthy either. I'm saved because of what Christ has done, my belief and trust in him. Oh, but Dean, you're a pastor. Doesn't that make you special? No. Oh, but Dean, you teach others about Jesus and how to be holy. Doesn't that make you special? No. There's nothing in me that makes me worthy. God chooses to use me as a vessel to speak through. God chooses to use me to teach others about who he is. But the victory is his. The grace is his. It's only through faith, only through faith, that we can be set free. Faith, victory, grace, they're all gifts from God. The Greek word that's used here for grace is charis. It means a gift that's freely given. We don't earn it. We don't purchase it. Christ has paid the price for our forgiveness. Christ has paid the price for us to receive the grace of God. Our salvation, our victory, are not dependent on what we do. Our salvation and our victory are based solely on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he was a former slave trader. He encountered God's grace and he was transformed. And he later wrote this, I am not what I ought to be, I'm not what I wish to be, I'm not what I hope to be, but by the grace of God, I am not what I was. Is that true of you this morning? That you're not what you were? Is there a difference in your life today from the day when you first came to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour? Can you look back and see the difference in your own life? Now, for some people, it was going to be a very dramatic difference. For others, it's subtle. But the change is definitely there. And we're called to press on. We are called to walk out our salvation on a daily basis. We're called to draw closer to God. We're called to trust Him more. And we can stand in the grace of God. And as we do that, we stand in victory. Have you fully embraced the victory of Christ in your life? Colossians 2, verses 14 and 15 says this: He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The Greek word that's used here for disarmed, it means to strip away or completely remove authority. Satan thinks he has power, but he doesn't. He will try and condemn us. He will try and distract us. He will try and disturb us. But he has no power. Because of what Christ did at the cross, all power has been stripped away from the devil. The victory of Christ on the cross, it wasn't partial, it was total and it was complete. And Satan has no dominion over us except for what we give him. He will try and find a chink in our armour, our spiritual armour, and he will try his most to get us to do that which is wrong in God's sight. But we have a choice. We can stand in the victory of Jesus, or we can believe the lie of the evil one. Friends, we need to stand. We need to stand firm in the truth of God's word. The victory of Christ was complete. It was total. Let's live in the victory of Christ. Second point, go and fight knowing the battle belongs to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:15. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Friends, our victory doesn't depend on our strength or our power. Do you ever struggle with opening a jar? Not really. There are times when I struggle to open a jar. Kwame here can open any jar like it's just made out of butter. I don't know how he does it.
It's called youth.
It's called youth, yes. Not quite the youngest in the room, but pretty close. All of us at times in our lives are physically strong. All of us. But then our bodies aren't what they used to be. Our strength deserts us. But God will never desert us. And his strength will never leave us. He is always with us. Now, I'm not saying that every time you want to open a jar, you pray that God will give you the strength of Samson. I'm not saying that. But when you face difficulties, when you face trials, when you face circumstances, when difficulties come, pray that strength will come from the Lord to enable you to fight the battle, to enable you to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. King Jehoshaphat, he faced an overwhelming enemy. He turned to the Lord, and instead of fighting, the people worshipped God. And it was God who won the battle for them. When times of difficulty come, when difficult circumstances press in, worship God and see what God can do. The Hebrew word for battle in this verse, it means, or it can be translated as war or as struggle. And we may not face a physical war, but we do face a spiritual war. We stand for truth, and the enemy doesn't like that. And he will attempt to struggle with us, to make us doubt our faith, to make us doubt that God is God. But God already has the victory. The battle belongs to the Lord, not to us. And yes, there are times in our lives when we try to fight battles on our own. And if we try and fight a battle in our own strength, we become weary, disheartened, downcast. But when we surrender to God, when we place our trust in him, when we place our faith in him, he is the one who fights for us. Are you experiencing any battles in your lives at the moment, friends? Know that you are not facing those battles alone. Christ is with you. It could be a battle over health. It could be a battle over something that's causing difficult emotions in your life. Trust God. Trust God for the victory. Third point, go and fight the good fight of faith. Spiritual warfare is real. We may ignore the supernatural. Maybe we think it's too difficult for us to comprehend. Maybe it's something that scares us. We don't want to even think that there are spiritual battles going on in heavenly realms. But we don't need to be terrified. We don't need to be scared, because God is the one who is fighting for us. And we can have faith in him. The enemy will seek to deceive, distract, and destroy. But we are not defenseless. Ephesians 6, 1-12. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Friends, we're given heavenly armour. We're given the armour of God to assist us in our battle. The belt of truth, which means knowing God's word. The breastplate of righteousness, which is all about living in holiness. The shield of faith, trusting in God's promises. That's how we deflect and disable the weapons of the enemy when they come against us. And we're also given the sword as the sword of the Spirit. We can use scripture against the enemy. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him? The devil used scripture to try and convince Jesus to do things that were not right for him to do. And what did Jesus do? He used scripture right back at him. It worries me at times that the devil knows the word of God better than a lot of Christians in the 21st century. He is able to quote word for word the word of God. He doesn't respect it. He doesn't obey it. He doesn't even believe that it's applicable to him and that somehow he is going to win the ultimate battle. But the word of God is truth. The word of God speaks life. The word of God is the word of God. We need to trust it. We need to believe it. We need to equip ourselves daily with the word of God, with the sword of the Spirit. Friends, just as soldiers prepare for battle, we must spiritually equip ourselves to stand against the enemy. We need to be vigilant. We shouldn't underestimate the enemy. But we don't live in fear because Christ has already won. When the devil comes against us, it's from a position of defeat. He is the defeated foe. We are victorious in Christ. But we should still equip ourselves from the word of God. We should still pray. We should still worship. We should show that we believe that God is who he says he is. Do you equip yourself daily by spending time in the Word? Do you equip yourself daily by spending time in prayer? Or do you just rush into the day and then wonder why about 11 o'clock in the morning things start going wrong? Do you ever get to the point where you're going to bed at night and you think, oh, I don't think I found time to pray today. I didn't look at the Word of God today. Or is reading the Word of God and prayer so unnatural as part of your daily life that the only time you pray is maybe on a Sunday when you're in church? The only time you read the Word of God is when it's projected up on the screen. Friends, we need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to be grounded. We need to put on the armour of God. And I would suggest that we also need to sing praise in the midst of battles. When Paul and Silas were in prison, humanly speaking, they should have been sad, worried, depressed. Instead, they sang praise to the Lord. Is that something that you do? Is that something that I do? I'm going to pick on my daughter again. Many years ago, when my daughter was 3 years old, she had meningitis. Her brother was 6 months old. He also had meningitis. And they were admitted to hospital. And Hannah, being Hannah, stayed in with them. And I would come back from the hospital at night, not knowing if my children would be alive the following day. And there was one evening when I found myself, it was a rare occasion, I was washing the dishes. And I was singing, Majesty, worship His Majesty, unto Jesus be glory, honour and praise. And I'm standing there, and I'm embarrassed to say, I had tears running down my eyes. Not because I was washing the dishes, because my wife wasn't there to do it, but because God moved me in my heart. And even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of not knowing whether they would be victorious in their battle against meningitis, I was able to praise God. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? I'm sure all of us have at some stage or another. To sing praise in the midst of a struggle, to sing praise in the midst of a trial, it seems alien. It seems the opposite of what we should be doing, and yet this is what the Word of God shows us we should be doing. As the battle belongs to the Lord reminds us, in heavenly armour will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. Fourth point, go and fix your eyes on Christ. Christ is our vision and He's our strength. Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Other translations say author and finisher of our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, now He is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. The Greek word for champion, it means a pioneer, a leader, or one who goes ahead to secure victory. Jesus is not only our saviour, He is our leader in victory. Victory comes from Jesus, and victory comes to us in our lives by focusing on Jesus. Not on the circumstance, not on the situation, not on the ifs, the buts and the maybes that our minds can conjure up and mull over. Our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus. Circumstances can bring us down. Circumstances can cause us to become distracted. Circumstances can cause us to take our focus off of God. Or there can be times in our lives when we are so certain that we are focused on the will of God. That, oh, this must be right because. And those are the times when we need to exercise discernment in our lives. Just because something looks good doesn't mean it is good. Just because something sounds right doesn't mean it is right. We need to be discerning, friends. If we're focused on Jesus and not on our circumstances, if we're focused on Jesus, if we understand and know what the Word of God says, then we can walk in victory. In the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, we declared, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. There are many that will accept Jesus as Saviour. There are many that will proclaim that Jesus was a very, very good man, a prophet. But there are a far fewer number that accept Jesus as Lord. What do I mean by that? I mean fully surrendering our lives to Him. Knowing that we are no longer our own, but we are His. Doing what He calls us to do. Following and not doing the things that He calls us not to do. I've had a number of people recently who've been telling me just how wonderful the movie Wicked was. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the movie Wicked, but it's about witchcraft. The Bible is clear when it tells us to not have anything to do with witchcraft. It's not entertainment, it is demonic. And we should not allow anything that is demonic in our lives. I was watching a video on YouTube yesterday of a lady who calls herself Bible Chick. We'll go beyond the name and actually consider the fact that she is doctrinally sound. She's really good with her understanding of the Bible. And she was talking about the danger of yoga on the video that I watched. What I find scary is that there is now such a thing as Christian yoga. Yet it still adopts the poses that are used as worship of the demons. And we don't understand the symbolism. Apparently there's three poses called the warrior. I won't do them, but apparently there's three poses called the warrior. And there's the cow cat. Now each of these poses, and there's other poses as well. Now each of these poses is meant to be a sacrifice to one of the false Hindu gods. Even the prayer that they do at the end when they say namaste, that is saying, or it means, may the God in me be like you, God. Which sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But we're not God. And the God that's in us as believers is the Holy Spirit. Yet the world says, oh, isn't it nice? And Christian churches, Anglican churches, are having yoga sessions as part of worship. Kids' nurseries are teaching two-year-olds yoga poses. And all of this is in worship of the demonic, even if they don't realise what it is that they're doing. The world is a corrupt place. The world is a dangerous place. And all of these things seek to distract us from the victory that is ours in Christ. The Greek word for keeping our eyes on Jesus, or keeping our eyes on in this verse, it means to turn away from other distractions, to fix our gaze upon something intently, to stare. We are meant to be staring at Jesus, not running after the things of the world. In Christ, we have victory. Now, I'm not saying don't exercise. If you don't exercise, you end up like this. But what I am saying is do not allow Eastern religion to be part of your exercise. If you want a good exercise program, I'm sure Kwame can provide one for you. He can tell you what to eat, what not to eat. He can teach you how to do reps. Open jars. Friends, if you want to follow the truth, we need to follow the truth. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't allow ourselves to be distracted. We stare at Christ. But we need to do more than just look. We need to be active in our faith. A.W. Tozer said this: faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. Faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. Are your eyes on Jesus this morning? Or are you distracted by the worries of life? Where's your focus? Okay, now we're getting into dangerous territory. We're going to be talking about going and proclaiming the victory of the Lamb. We as believers have a great commission from Jesus. He's told us to go. To go and share the truth of his word with a lost, broken and sinful world. Now many Christians in the 21st century consider this as the great suggestion that Jesus didn't really say go. And if he did say go, he obviously didn't mean me or you. He was talking about the evangelists. He was talking about the special people. He was talking about the people who are more eloquent and able to speak. No, he wasn't. He was talking to you and he was talking to me. We're meant to go. We're meant to share the truth of the gospel. We're meant to share the truth about the victory that is there in the Lamb of God. And okay, the world may not understand Christianese and the terminology. And maybe we need to explain things in a slightly different way so that the world understands. I remember a few years ago, I was in Southend High Street and there was someone there witnessing and shouting out to the crowds, "You must be covered in the blood of the Lamb." Can you imagine the reaction he got from people walking by? Covered in blood? Ooh. Well, you want me to sacrifice a lamb? We live in a post-Christian world. We live in a world that doesn't understand the terminology that you and I know. We live in a world where religious education might happen in schools, but they will teach that there are multiple faiths and multiple ways. Yet, what we have here is the truth. And we need to proclaim truth. Now, it may be that you're in a petrol station and you're putting fuel in your car. And it may be that there's someone on the other side putting fuel in their car. And you might say to them something like, "Jesus loves you." And they'll either cause them to think or it'll cause them to run. Ooh, that weird person. And maybe they go home and they talk to their husband or their partner. "Yeah, I was getting petrol and I was just minding my own business. I was thinking about what I needed to do. And this woman, she came up to me and she said, 'Jesus loves you.' How does she know Jesus loves me? I don't even know Jesus." And that's the problem. The world doesn't know Jesus. And common language that we use, talking about the love of God, talking about the victory of Christ, talking about the Lamb of God who's was sacrificed to take away our sin. The world wouldn't even acknowledge that sin exists. Heaven and hell, were they real? Oh no, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in the devil. I was putting posters up at Ashendon one day during the week. And there was this guy that was staring at me from the end of the driveway. And I thought, okay, I'll turn around, I'll talk to him and say, "Hi, how are you?" And he said, do you believe all this church stuff? And okay, I looked at myself and I thought, well, maybe I don't look much like a church minister. In fact, this week, someone that I met on Thursday said to me, well, you don't look like a minister, you don't wear a dog collar. And I don't. But this guy said to me, oh, so do you believe all this stuff? And I said, well, yeah, I'm a minister of the church. Oh. Does that pay well then? I said, no, I'm not like those American evangelists that have their own planes and multiple cars, no. No. And in fact, there are many people who, you know, we have an annual conference every year, and there are people who actually, you know, turn up with the same clothes year after year at a conference. And no, we're not rich, but I consider myself rich in Christ, because God has given me a gift that is immeasurable. Oh, what's that then? He's given me the gift of eternal life. Huh? Now, the Bible teaches that we are all broken, that we're all damaged. The Bible calls it sin. And the Bible tells us that when we believe in Jesus, when we trust in him, our sins are forgiven. And that's the greatest gift that we could ever be given. My son, he wants a PlayStation 5. What? People like to change the topic. They will try and steer it away from the spiritual. Anyway, I'm sure the guy went away thinking I was weird, but hey, he's right. But there was an opportunity just to share something of the love of God, something about the truth that we believe. And maybe, you know, even when I grew up in a Jewish household, but at school I met kids who went to Sunday school. Now, kids don't really go to Sunday school. They might go and play football on a Sunday. They might go and do something else. And in fact, their parents might not even be in church on a Sunday. We live in a different generation. The Greek word for worthy, it means deserving or incomparable value. They sang in the mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Heaven proclaims the victory of Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb given in our place. And Jesus alone is worthy. He is the only one who's conquered sin, the only one who's conquered death, the only one who's conquered the power of the grave. And our victory that he has secured is not just for today. It's eternal. Have you placed your trust in the victorious Lamb of God? Because if you have, you need to do what the sixth point says. Go and share the victory with those defeated by sin. Victory in Christ is not something we're meant to keep to ourselves. It's something that's meant to be shared. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Do you ever feel like an ambassador? I mean, I'll be honest, the imagery of an ambassador, I think of someone who sits in a consulate somewhere behind the fence with armed guards and that never comes out and has got no idea what's going on in the real world. But that's not what ambassador means here. This is someone who goes out to build bridges. Not just through pomp and ceremony, not just shaking the hands of other important officials, but someone who actually goes to where the truth needs to be shared. The world is full of people who are trapped by sin. The world is full of people who are living in darkness. We carry the message of hope. We carry the message of freedom. Imagine finding the cure for a deadly disease and keeping it to yourself. The gospel is the cure for sin, and we're meant to share it. I was watching a video on Sky News this morning on their app, and they were going through all the things that happened 5 years ago in COVID. It's incredible it was 5 years ago, but it was. And I was looking at all the things that became natural parts of our lives, like social distancing. Do you remember that? Wearing face masks. We put signs up everywhere telling people how to wash their hands because we never knew that before COVID, did we? I believe that COVID was the reset that the church needed. Because people weren't coming into our walls, we could only connect online. We had to find different ways of delivering the truth to the world. And 5 years on, they still have services streaming. Last week, we streamed the evening service from Ashendon to YouTube. And over the course of 2 days, we had over 200 views. 99 on just Monday alone and 100 on Sunday. And the numbers are still climbing. A small church, realistically in the middle of nowhere, yet people are connecting to truth. They're hearing the word of God. They're listening to people praise. And if COVID never happened, we wouldn't be doing that. We're meant to share the truth. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Are you intentional about sharing the truth with others? Do the people you work with even know that you're a Christian? Do your neighbours know? Or perhaps more soul-searching, do those in your family know that you are a Christian? Or are you so camouflaged? I mean, you come here on a Sunday morning and you all look so holy. And yeah, we'll forget about perhaps the arguments you had in the car on the way getting here. Or the way in which you drove to honour God. We'll forget about that. I'm not looking at you. Oh, you were good this morning. That would suggest that you're not good at all times. Do you repent? Do you repent?
I confess to the minister.
Yeah, even in that, we try and justify things that shouldn't be justified. Blue lights come on, you get pulled over. And what speed were you going at? And where were you going? I was going to church. I was going to go and worship Jesus. Yeah. There's no such thing as the wrong thing for the right reasons in God's economy. We're called to follow the laws of the land, however stupid they may be. However empty the road may be in front of you, there's a thing called the speed limit. And that's the limit, not a nice to have target. And the call to go into all the world is not a nice to have, it's something that we're commanded to do. To be the ambassador, to appeal for Christ, to tell others, come back to God. We're meant to do that. We're meant to show Christ's love to the world through our words and through our actions. How often do you pray for other people that they will come to know the Lord? When was the last time you prayed for your next door neighbour? When was the last time you prayed for your postman, your food delivery person? When was the last time you left the supermarket and prayed for the person behind the checkout that had just served you, that God would bring blessing to their lives and that they would know Jesus as Lord for themselves? Now, I'm not saying pray with them. I'm not saying, you tell the woman or the checkout operator, stop processing my items. I need to pray for you. But you can pray for those people outside. The person in front of you who obviously isn't as good a driver as you are, do you pray for them? If you're like me, probably not. We get angry, we get upset. When actually we should be praying for victory in those people's lives. As Amazing Grace proclaims, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Doesn't that describe the majority of people walking past or driving past this building right now? That they're blind, spiritually blind. Let's pray that the people walking by, that their eyes will be opened. That like the Apostle Paul, the scales will fall off. That they will recognize and embrace the truth that there is a God and that they can be in a relationship with him. Let's bring it into land. In conclusion, go and walk in Christ's victory. Victory, it's not just a concept, it's a reality. It's something for every believer in Christ. We have victory through his grace, his strength, his presence, and his eternal reign. So let me give you a call to action. Stand in his grace. Stop striving and start resting in his finished work. His perfect work, his completed work. Surrender your battles to him. Give your problems, your circumstances, your situations to the Lord, and let him fight for you. Can God be defeated by anything? Then let him fight the battle. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't be distracted by life struggles. Don't be distracted by what you perceive is going on around you. Trust Jesus. Look to him. Let him be your strength, your shield, your portion. And proclaim his victory. Live as a witness to the world. Live as an ambassador for Christ. Wherever you go, take the fragrance of Jesus with you. Maybe you've never experienced this victory in Christ. Maybe you've never fully placed your trust in him. But Jesus has won the battle on the cross. He's won the battle for all who will believe. We need to accept his gift of salvation. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and declare in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you haven't already done that, will you do that today? Will you accept him as your Lord and your Saviour? And if you already know him as Lord and Saviour, will you take the opportunity today to share this truth with someone who's heading to a lost eternity? Hallelujah, Christ has won the victory. Now go and walk in victory, for the battle has already been won. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you care for each and every one of us. And I thank you that in Christ we are victorious. I pray that you would help each of us to live in the victory that you've already secured. That we would be bold in our proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help us, Lord, to share the truth of who you are with a lost and broken world. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you've called us to be. And help us to stand firm in the victory that you have already won. Pray, Lord, that you will bless us. You will keep us, that you will uphold us, and that you will give us your peace, now and evermore. Amen.